Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I'm excited, and let me say, this is something God has given me. When I started ministry a long time ago, and a pastor friend of mine told me the very time, am I echoing?
Yeah.
Are we all right? Told me that at the point that I stop being nervous, then I know that I'm in flesh. And so I welcome the nerves. It's not a fear, because I know who God has called me to be. So when I get the nerves, I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be at, because then I know I'm under his mercy and grace. But Pastor Dan said something about pushing the envelope this morning, and I guess I'm going to be the envelope pusher, because in what's going on right now, we have already been, have heard the word about the awakening happening, amen, and we know we are at a birthing place. And no, it's not easy, women, amen, sometimes in that time. And so the word that the Lord gave me is a word that I've been ministering here for quite some time. He gave me this last year, I believe it was, and every place I've gone, it's like when I say, okay, what am I going to speak? He gives me the same word. And so today we're going to talk about walking in a place that we really don't grab hold of, because it's been tainted. And it's a place called repentance. The silence lets me know I'm all right. Repentance has been tainted because religion has taught that it is a place that we go because we're bad. But that's not the truth. Repentance is a place that God has provided for grace and the ability for us to be one with him on a continual basis. So with that in mind, I want to show you why this is so important. Because in the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, Moses is pleading to God on behalf of Israel. And Israel messed up to such a state that it angered God. So Moses goes in and he talks to God and he says, why are you so hot? Why are you waxed against your people? Remember the promise that you gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Remember what you were going to pass down to them. And then here's what the scripture says. In that 17th verse, it says, and God repented of the evil he had against Israel. Now, let me stop and point a great observation. Anytime God does anything, it's holy. Would y'all agree? He said, be ye what? Holy. For what? Talk to me. For I'm holy. So whatever God does, it's holy. So here's where we have to really look at. If God repented, then repentance is what? So when we look at repentance, we're not looking at it for doing something that we've done because we've done something wrong. We're looking at it because we're wanting to be holy like God. Am I making sense to anybody? So when we look at this word repentance, we can now really understand that we're not just doing this and going to God and saying, God, forgive me. You know, I messed up. I'm bad and all these things. No, I'm saying, God, I want to be so much more like you that I'm aware of the things that I'm doing that are causing me to miss the mark. I'm not in the position that I need to be. But in order for me to get to that position, I need to get into your presence and repent. Now, here's what repentance is. It's merely this. Religion has made it so complicated. It's merely a changing of mind about what and how we're doing what we do. And this is why the awakening is so powerful, and why I really believe God is breathing into this right now in this time and season, because religion has done the same thing over and over and over, and people have fed into it and expecting something to change, and it's not. Why? Because we're not in proper alignment with Word, with God, and with our identities. Whew. Can I share something with you? I'm going to try to use notes. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm going to try. I've been walking this since 98. And honestly, God had told me early on that, you know, I remember nervous. Trying to write that first message out, get it right there. And I had to go to the store. And I went to the store and pulled up at the stoplight. I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. He said, I don't ever want you to write a note. I said, huh? He said, because what I give you, I want it to come out of your heart. Let me do that. And I think out of 15-something years, I think I've actually wrote 4 messages. Why? Now, you know, that's not slighting anybody else. Everybody has their own calling, right? But I want to be so dependent on God that I don't give the flesh enough opportunity to get in there. And that's what he gave me. But today I said, Lord, just let me get it started. Let me help you get it started. Just a little bit. Dan, to shake off the nerves. Because I know he always shows up. But repentance honors God. So God is holy. And we should be holy too. Here's the thing. It is time we take an approach that is more consistent with who and where we are as a people. I'm a movie buff. Now, I know some of y'all may be more saved than me, but that's probably my biggest weakness. I love me some movies. And I get a lot of revelation now because of where I'm at. And I'm almost scared to ask, but I'm going to ask since I'm up here. Anybody seen the movie Identity Thief? Other than me and my... Good, I guess. Got some more folks that ain't all the way there. Amen. I love that movie. I'm sorry, I laughed. It was funny. But here was the thing about Identity Thief that really got me after watching the movie. For those of you that ain't seen it, you might have to see it just for that part. I ain't saying get all into it, but just, you know, see it for this part. There's a scene in the movie, and I'm not going to give the movie away, but this scene where the lady who's been stealing identities all her life, she's sitting across the man of whom she stole the identity from, and he's just kind of got to the point where he's relaxed because he's trying to get her to another place. And he says, now that, you know, all this other stuff is behind us, who are you? And she says, you know, I'm such and such. And she brushes it off. And he said, no, for real, tell me, what is your name? And she gets agitated. And she starts to break down. And she says, I don't know who I am. Watch this. And for so long, the enemy has stolen our identities to such a degree, when someone asks you who you are in the kingdom, you don't know who you are. And it agitates us in such a way that when God is trying to reveal something to us, we're lost in a false humility and identity crisis. Which is why the awakening now is so relevant. For God's people to come back to the point of realizing who we are in him. So what is the weight on repentance? Because it is getting us to the point of really stop doing the things we've been doing in such a degree that has not worked, to really see how God wants us to do it. See, when I look at how all those kids came back with those testimonies, that was a degree they had never seen before. But religion wants us to bring them in, sit them in Sunday school, teach them a Bible, and give them no relevance, and not allow them to find their identities. And as a people, God's children, we need to say, Lord, you know what? We're not just repenting for us, but we're repenting for a nation who has fallen aside. Because this is what he said, and it's gotten missed so many times. I come up Baptist, and I've heard this scripture preached so many times, and they've used this to just beat unsaved folks over the head, but the scripture wasn't about unsaved folks. It was about us. It was about narcissists. And it's in Chronicles. And he said, if the people out in the world, it said, if would do what? If my people who are called by my name would turn. Now watch this now. God said, if we, his chosen, who he's called, ordained, set aside, the ecclesia, would turn from our twisted ways of thinking. Here's what's really amazing about that. Here's a God that is in heaven said, then I will hear from heaven. It confused me, Dan. He's in heaven, but he said, I will hear from heaven. So that helped me to understand that when his people really offer up a sacrifice of praise that goes beyond where he's at, that he will hear from a place that even himself hadn't heard from. And he says what after that? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. This is why the prayer house is so important. Because if we're not praying, not just when we come in here, but in different cells. See, the awakening is about a nation of people. But we can't awaken a nation of people until we are awoke. Would pray, turn, seek his face, then. See, this is why, now watch this, Dan. This is why they had the revelation about the breach. Because the pregnancy and delivery is right now there because God is hearing from heaven and he's turning. Because we were originally in there feet first. And guess what? When you go into anything feet first, the head is behind.
Yes.
Some of y'all will catch that later. Because we will say, Pastor, Apostle, we got you, and we run in feet first. But we never got the wisdom of what he's gotten and tapped into what he's tapped in. So a lot of times we're spiritually breached. It's not a bad thing. You're in the right position. But you got to flip. Why? Because you got to follow in the direction that is natural. That's divine order. And following headship. It is not ironic that children are born head first. Whew. Somebody got that. Why? Because that is order. Can I help y'all today? Listen. See, repentance is so that the manifestation of Christ can be manifested in us. Here's one of my, I love this, in Apostle Jeanette, it's in Citygate Dyersburg, they had it on the wall. And the time that I went down there, that was my confirmation because I took it to Citygate and they, it did something down there to Dyersburg, not knowing that they would even have that on the wall. But it's in Acts, the 3rd chapter, 19th verse. Y'all don't worry about her. She preaches everywhere I go. So that's prophetic. That's prophetic. Everywhere I go, she preach. And every time I get done preaching, they'd be like, oh, she was preaching with you. I know. Because I was speaking it to her while she was in the womb. And do you realize that that speaking to her in the womb is the same thing when apostle is speaking to us in worship? Because when the prophetic word goes out, And we are in a worship atmosphere like we was this morning. And let me forget that thought, because I want to share this. Is it all right with you if I share what we talked about earlier? Here's how powerful worship was today. Me and Brother Jim was talking, and he was telling me about his grandchild. And I got to say it so it's not so bad. He needed to be cleaned up. And so he said, Pop, I need you to clean me. And, you know, he was in the way he came into the world. And he just bent over and said, here it is. And here was the revelation God gave me while we were talking. The same way he went to Paw, wow. God wants us to come to him. Wow. Without shame,
yes.
Guilt, and condemnation. And he went to the source where he knew when he went, regardless of how he was going to get cleansed.
Wow.
But what happens is, we can't go to God like that because we got a lot of guilt and shame on us that we need to drop. So we need to go naked in the spirit and say, Lord, cleanse me.
Yes.
I need to be cleansed.
Yes.
And none of us are too far out that we don't need cleansing. I know we're in the apostolic house, but you say, we got Apostle Clay. He's the devil killer. Well, if some of you all are like me, you got heavy feet when you're driving. Don't everybody say nothing, just look straight. But I want to show you why that is so important. Because when I'm talking about repentance and how God showed me walking in a realm of repentance, we have to realize every little thing that we don't ask forgiveness for is a bit that Satan can put a hook in. Which is why we can't go to the Father and say, cleanse me. When's the last time you really repented and said, God, forgive me for speeding? Don't raise your hand. Because as soon as you said that, you were speeding again. Now I raise my hand. When's the last time, honestly, you repented? Now watch this. When I say repentance, say in your mind, change my mind about the way I was doing what I was doing. When is the last time you really repented about not just being everything you was to be to God? Think about it. Well, you say, well, shoot, I would be doing this every day. Exactly. Why? Because Paul actually said that we are to daily crucify the flesh. And there was no limit on that. Why? Because the limitation is this. If we don't do it, the more we don't do it, the farther away we get from God.
Amen.
I said this a long time ago. I said, I can always tell when I get very far away from God. And my wife said, how? I said, because everything somebody do just ticks me the stuffing off. See, that's how you can tell. Because it's almost as if your shield is down. Now listen to this. Acts 3 and 19. It says this. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Now stop right there. The scriptures before this, the disciples have healed a lame man. So Paul has to do a teaching to those that was watching. And he starts off and he says, you know, why are y'all so amazed at what was happening as if we did this great thing? And see, here's where this is important, because when the awakening happened, people are going to be amazed to see the lame heal. They're going to be amazed to see ears open and sight given to the blind. And it's all because they do not understand the power of not just who Christ is, but of his loving forgiveness for them. So Paul teaches and he says, listen, you don't even have to be amazed. This is what you need to do. Repent and be converted in your way of thinking, your manner of living, and how you believe. When you do that, listen, that not just your sins will be blotted out. Now, King James Version says when, but actually the Greek word is hopos, which is not when, but that. So when you see it, it says that the refreshing may follow. Now watch this. We will repent more when we really understand the refreshing. This is what hurt me the most when God first gave me this, since I've been ministering this message. And I had to evaluate my finances. This is going to hurt somebody, but I'm going to bandage you up later. Some of us are just giving. We got great hearts. And me and my wife are, we would probably be in a box if I just let her do what she wanted to do. But do you know you can give out of a good heart and not be given out of the will of God? And when you do that, do you realize you're exalting your every means of what God really intended for you to have? So I had to repent about how I gave. The looks on your face said no. Because if you give and you never ask God, am I supposed to give to that person? You're giving out of the will. When you do, even though Apostle said, I need some help, and you jump in there, and you say, well, I'm going to do it because you got full of zeal, but that's not really what God needed you to do at that moment because you were over there doing because of zeal, but then this brother really did need you to pray because you're the only one that they confide and trust in, and now they miss what they needed. So you have to... When you repent, the refreshing comes. It is a restoring, a renewing. It is when you think of a dead, dry area, a refreshing comes and it re-moisturizes. Now, I don't know about you. There's a lot of areas in my life I need to have some moisture. It ain't just my hands. But when we start examining the things that are really absent and where we're missing the mark or what's coming short, I can guarantee you that it's an area that we hadn't surrendered unto God. Or it's an area that we're working in that we really hadn't asked God, is this where we're supposed to be working? But he says, when you repent, turn around and return to God, your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat and reviving with fresh. Watch this here. Recovering from the effects of your wrong mode's way of doing. You can look out there in the world, and this is, hear my heart, this is not putting anybody down, but you can see ministries that are dying because they have not looked at how they are doing and the modes they're doing it in. And they have not turned and repented. It's evident. Youth, look at your friends and how their lifestyles are going. It's because they hadn't turned and repented. you can help them get that refreshing by just showing them this scripture. But watch this. He says, it'll come from where? The presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before you were preached. Now, I want to talk about where the refreshing is coming from. It's coming from getting into the presence of God. Well, here was the key. How do I get into the presence of God? Repent. I wouldn't finna give you no big theology. I know y'all was waiting. Is that it? Yeah. You get into the presence of God when you repent. Why? Because if God did it and you do it, you just like him. Jesus says, you know, can I be equal of God and not think that it's robbery? Can I be God? Yes, because he did it. He set a standard. So when God repented, he made repentance holy. So when we repent, we become holy. When we become holy, we get in the presence of God. Why? Because there's nothing unclean that can be in the presence of God. The wild sin. Anytime we talk about God's repentance, we also talk about grace and the necessity of it. By considering repentance of God's grace, the concerns of both groups are addressed. Now watch this. God is not asking us to give up anything that he doesn't fully intend to replace with something better. Let that sink in. Whatever God is asking you to give up, he's got something greater in mind. Amen. Single women say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whatever he's asking you to give up is because he's got something better in mind. I read this book called, anybody remember the book by Bruce Wilkerson, Secrets of the Vine? He did a whole teaching on John the 15th chapter. Talking about the vine and being the vine dresser. And he talked about the whole purging process. And here's what's amazing about that. Now, I've never been a vine dresser. I ain't never done the farm thing. And you probably couldn't even get me on a farm. So just be truthful. But he talked about how they develop vine branches. And they do that by, even though there's a big branch with a bunch of fruit on it, the vine dresser will cut what looks to be good. But what's behind it is what he's concerned about. So he would cut the big bulk of grapes so that the grapes behind it can live. Now watch this. There are some things in your life that you feel you may be losing. Are you losing it, or is it God cutting out so something greater can grow? And you have to get in his presence to find out, is this something I'm really supposed to be holding on to? Is this a ministry I'm supposed to be holding on to? Because we have a heart, because we are a great people. And sometimes we want to take care of everybody and we want to help heal everybody. But if that's not what God has called you to do, he has to cut it out. Because there is a greater work that is required. Am I helping anybody?
Yes, sir.
So, now watch this. Birth. Childbirth. What's cut off? I'm trying not to be disgusting. The umbilical cord. Now, the umbilical cord is the lifeline for the infant. And it just seems crazy to cut off a lifeline. Child is getting carried, grabbing. You grabbing that already? It just seems crazy. But he's never going to take away something he's not going to give greater. The reason why the lifeline is cut, because he supplies another lifeline. And it becomes Dan and Vicky. Because now they become the resource in the earth. And sometimes you are connected. Sometimes you are connected to the wrong lifeline.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And God has to cut it off. Now wait, let me just say this. Because every job isn't your lifeline. That was thunder. Every position isn't your lifeline. And if you do not evaluate that and actually ask God how that lines up with the word, you'll be drawing from a dry well. Because if that's not your place of resource, you can't get anything from it. Now, does anybody see why repentance really is something we have to walk in every day? Honestly, ask yourself, how often do you hear about it? And the enemy wants it that way because some of us still likes to do earthly things and think it's okay. When God wants us to be in his presence at all times, we can't draw from him out of his presence. We can't receive wisdom from him out of his presence. We can't receive healing from him out of his presence. Everything we need is and is to be all comes out of his presence. Every revelation. Why? Because it's the place that Holy Spirit speaks the clearest, in his presence. Is this good or what? I don't need that. Listen to this. You're not alone because disbelief is rampant in the church today. And this is how Jesus explains it. He says, how can you believe? Dan, you talked about believing. When you receive glory from one another and you do not seek glory that is from the one and only God. We have difficulty believing what God offers freely by his grace because we are intent on receiving glory from earthly sources. Repenting will help you to believe and receive from God. See, it's hard for the world to really grab hold of an awakening that's happening because they're thinking it's going to come from man, but it's not. It's going to come from God's people, by God, through his people. And when we, his people who are called by his name, get in the proper alignment for God, so that when we're in proper alignment with God, watch this, I know this is going to mess up your theology, but God is in proper alignment with heaven so he can hear from heaven, so that he can get out of heaven and get to Holy Spirit, so Holy Spirit can get to us which way, how, when to move, then awakening happens. Damon Thompson laid it out for us about us being the gate into Memphis. Memphis is going to suffer as long as we're not in proper alignment. We are Memphis life source. We are Memphis umbilical cord. And whether you want to be or not, we are God's ecclesia. Anything, Jesus, hallelujah. It is purpose. Watch this. It is purpose for this ecclesia to be what you see it to be as a multicultural ecclesia because of the multicultural move that's in Memphis. See, it was a concern of mine when I first came, Dan, because I kept hearing all these pastors coming up, Baptists, being in this church and that church, talking about having multicultural churches, but nobody was doing a multicultural movement. And there's a difference. Because guess what? It can't be a multicultural church if your whole message is just to one race of people. God's word isn't to just one race of people. God's word is to everybody. Now I want to show y'all something because I'm getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to go. Plus, Chris told me I need to get out of here before the Baptists get to the buffet. Chuck, y'all got the video ready? Now, I told you I'm a movie buff, but this is one of my all-time favorite movies. Me and my wife. But this scene in here, when God gave me this revelation. I'm going to let y'all see the scene, and then I'm going to talk about it. Go ahead, Chuck. Play it.
Dark Sauce. What a pleasant surprise.
This morning's full of surprises, Leonidas.
We've been tricked.
There'll be more than a few hundred of them. This is a surprise.
Silence.
We heard Sparta was on the warpath. We were eager to join forces.
If it is blood you seek, you're welcome to join us.
You bring only this handful of soldiers against Xerxes? You see, I was wrong to expect Sparta's commitment to at least match our own.
Doesn't it? You, there. What is your profession?
I'm a potter, sir.
And you, Arcadian, what is your profession?
Sculptor, sir.
And you?
Blacksmith.
Spartans! What is your profession?
See, old friend, I brought more soldiers than you did.
There are many titles, but there's only one set of soldiers. And if God is raising up an army, is it going to be an army that has one purpose, one goal, and one focus, which is to raise and heal a generation of people? Or is it going to be everybody in their titles trying to be an army without the heart? See, because to be with King Leonidas in the 300, this is why I love the movie, because every time I think about it, I just think about Gideon's 300. He said, I have more soldiers. I brought more soldiers than you did, because you brought a whole bunch of people with titles. But I brought people with a purpose, with a passion, which is to win a war. And the only way we're going to win a war is that we're in right alignment. And the only way we're going to be in right alignment is walking in a realm that is not traveled by many. The only way we're going to win a war and raise an awakening is by doing what others neglect to do. The only way we are going to do what God has called us to do is to step up and be the army and the ecclesia that he's called us to be. And that's about grasping and taking in the every essence of who God is in his pureness, in his holiness. And if God is holy enough to repent of an evil thought, who are we and what are we as a holy people? So I bless you today because God is looking for us to walk in a realm of repentance and a lifestyle that everybody ain't traveling on, that we can be free and clean so that the enemy won't have anything that when God moves that will stumble us in keeping us from obtaining what he's called us to get. I don't know about y'all, but I want it all back. I don't know about y'all, but I want some family members and some loved ones saved. And I can't get them saved if I can't save me. And if I can't tell God I'm messed up on the inside, you clean me up so I can be right. Now I can go get them. So I bless God today for each and every one of you all. I thank you for your love. And like Leonidas said, Christians, who are you? Oh, God bless you.